This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will. He's Jake.
You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake.
On today's show, Will and Jake discuss the non-WWE events of WrestleMania weekend. Want to hear a review of WrestleMania, where we sat down and talked with Jason Powell? Become a ProWrestling.net member, and you can. For all of the information, head on over to ProWrestling.net and click on the membership link. So, Jake, how is the recovery from WrestleMania weekend treating you? Have you, it's Thursday as we record this. Did you get a night off from wrestling on Wednesday?
I did, yes. That was a joyous occasion because I finally got to rejoin my family and leave the cave where I watch wrestling. No, honestly, it had been a long weekend. I mean, I'd watched the Ring of Honor show and NXT on Saturday, and then WrestleMania was a gauntlet that lasted all afternoon and evening on Sunday, and then, you know, Raw on Monday night, and then I cover SmackDown on Tuesday. So Wednesday was a welcome night off for me. It was nice to get back to normal activities. It's a weird, you know, it's both exciting and really, really taxing by the time you get through WrestleMania week. I can't even imagine what Jason goes through because he spends a lot more time doing this than we do.
Yeah, I was so happy that Christy was out of town this weekend. Normally, when she goes out of town, I'm like, there's nothing to do at home. Because I am apparently very dependent. But I enjoy the company, obviously. It's one of the reasons I married Christy. So I was so glad she was out of town because I was able on Saturday to gorge myself on wrestling, essentially. To watch everything, to watch two shows at once at various points. Like, to do absolutely insane things that a human really should not do when it comes to wrestling. But I was able to do it because I didn't have a wife at home saying, that's a dumb idea. And she would have been right. It was all a dumb idea. Wrestling, it occurs to me, might itself be a dumb idea. But this was a fun weekend. I think, so the goal of this show is to talk about stuff outside of the WWE things. So it's mostly events that happened Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Jake, we were talking, the one show that we both watched that I think we're going to talk the most about on this show, Ring of Honor's Supercard of Honor 11. Jake, this was one of my favorite Ring of Honor shows I've watched in the Sinclair broadcast era.
It's my favorite show that they've put on in a couple of years, I think. There have been other shows that I've enjoyed. Don't get me wrong. It's not like that I don't often enjoy Ring of Honor. But I think from start to finish, just in terms of match quality and overall production quality, I guess maybe that was more apparent in comparison to some of the other stuff that happened over the weekend. But I think they told some good stories. I thought the commentary performed well, and that was always a sticking point for me in general. So I think it was a fantastic show, bookended by probably my favorite match of the weekend between the Young Bucks and the Hardys.
That was a great match. If I know we said this already, some people might think that one Hardys ladder match in a weekend is enough. No. Guys, you need to go out of your way and see the Young Bucks versus the Hardys at Ring of Honor Supercard of at Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor 11 from Saturday night. I'm not one who normally is like, you have to see this match. But you got to see that match. That is going to be one of my favorite matches this year. It's up there for favorite match of the weekend with me, and I think people who listen to this show probably know what my other favorite match of the weekend was. Oh, God, Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles was good.
Yeah, the funny thing is I think I saw Meltzer's star ratings come out this morning, and he agreed with you. He called it the best match on the WrestleMania card.
Yeah, it was glorious, and not in the Bobby Roode way. It was more than just theme music. The Young Bucks and the Hardys put on an absolute spectacle. They put on the kind of match you would expect the team that helped to define the ladder match in its modern configuration of the Hardys, and the team that is looking to kind of ratchet up wrestling past that level the way the Young Bucks do. They put on the kind of ladder match you would expect them to have. I can't think of many blown spots. I can't think of many moments where I went, that was awkward. More often than not, I was going, how the hell did that happen? You had, I think it was Matt Jackson, just jumping from falling ladder to the ropes and then doing a flip through one of the Hardys on a table. It was absurd. Yeah.
It was fantastic. I can't imagine, you know, a more complete ladder match in my own mind, just between two teams that seem to have a very strong grasp on the concept and were willing to go way out of their way to make each other look good. And all the offense was sold well. And the characters, I mean, you know, the Hardys got to, you know, perform, you know, in character, the ones that they had actually built themselves and had been for the longest time. So, I think, you know, as a swan song, at least in the short term for those characters, it was a fantastic match. And I think the Bucks performed about as well as, you know, as anybody can expect from them. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the world, and they rose up and sort of, you know, brought it at least the Hardys level. Maybe, you know, they might even have been the stars of that match, just given some of the offense they were able to pull off. So I think the, you know, overall, it was my favorite match of the weekend, and I thought it was just a fantastic ladder war. And elsewise on the Ring of Honor card, I thought, you know, the Jay Lethal and Cody match was excellent. I really enjoyed that. And, you know, despite some of its shortcomings, I liked watching, you know, Dalton Castle and Christopher Daniels have some fun. And you said you liked the opener, right?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Marty Scurll and Adam Cole for the TV title. This one, the thing that got me about it, I'm not a huge fan of Marty Scurll's work. A lot of times I find him slightly boring in the ring. I've seen him have some really clunky matches at PWG that have made me cringe. I really liked this Marty Scurll match, and I thought Adam Cole performed above his standard level in Ring of Honor in it. This was another one where I thought both guys were really performing their best. And I will say, overall on this show, I was blown away by Ring of Honor's professionalism, their production quality. There were some audio issues on the feed, whatevs, but the way the show looked was such a huge step up from what I had grown used to from Ring of Honor years ago, what other independent level companies were giving us over the weekend. I was blown away by the way this Ring of Honor show looked, and I kept like having to remind myself that I'm watching ROH of all things, because I would just kind of fall into like, oh yeah, it's pretty, it's this, like it was to the level where production was not a distraction for me, and that's actually an impressive thing that honestly only WWE usually reaches when I'm watching wrestling.
You know, WWE almost distracts me in different ways. I actually like the camera work at the Ring of Honor show better than I like the way WWE does their camera work most of the time, because WWE will do those weird, awkward cuts to the crowd throughout matches that I hate. And they also, I mean, I usually like their roving camera work, but they also do those strange angles from outside the ring sometimes that they quickly flip back and forth from you know, to the hard camera and back. And sometimes that can distract you from what you're watching it at various points, and can catch mistakes that you probably wouldn't ordinarily catch if you weren't trying to catch the action from, you know, from these interesting you know, diagonals and things like that. So I think the ROH production, you know, was very good, and it reminded me you know, of I guess of a more classic take rather than Kevin Dunn's approach to the way you shoot wrestling.
Yeah, Kevin Dunn's approach seems to be like, he got really good at shooting wrestling and then realized all he does is shoot wrestling and just got really freaking bored. Like that's how Kevin Dunn that strikes me, and said, oh, well, we got to dress it up and we got to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, dude, just shoot the wrestling. Like just make the wrestling look real, real, real good. What did you think? I'm jumping around on this card a little bit. The Volador Jr. and Will Ospreay against Dragon Lee and Jay White kind of lucha style tag team match, because that's another one. It was kind of overshadowed by the great tag team match happening on the other screen with Authors of Pain, DIY, and The Revival. But Volador Jr. and Will Ospreay against Dragon Lee and Jay White was another really strong match.
Yeah, I probably didn't pay enough attention to it just exactly for the reason that you stated. I kind of got sucked into the NXT tag match. But I see more Lucha than most, probably. Just being in South Texas, I get a lot of Lucha wrestling on cable access and on our cable packages down here that include a lot of Spanish channels. And so I find that stuff super entertaining. And I think this match was on par with most of what you see coming out of Mexico these days. And so I would definitely say it was worth a watch. I mean, I have to go back and watch it again to really appreciate the fine details of it. But what I did see was very enjoyable.
Yeah, and you also mentioned Lethal and Cody, Jay Lethal and Cody, sometimes Rhodes, in a Texas Bull Rope match, and that was another really good match. This was a very complete show. Jake, can I ask you something, though? Why, if you're broadcasting an iPay-per-view, would you have an intermission? Why would you do that? Like, brothers can sell merch before and after the show. Like, people can grab a beer whenever they feel like it. Why would you have an intermission?
I don't know. Do you want to give your paying audience a chance to go back to the buffet table or something? I really have no idea what they were thinking with the. I mean, and it wasn't just that it was an intermission. I could handle 5 or 10 minutes.
It was
felt
long.
Like it went on forever. You know, it just went forever. So I'm assuming it was to sell merch, just given the nature of WrestleMania weekend and how they try to put those shows together with tables that are staffed pretty much throughout the entire show. But yeah, it really didn't make for a great experience if you were watching from home.
The nice thing about it, from the watching from home perspective, intermission hit right as NXT TakeOver Orlando was starting. So I was able to, instead of watching the Motor City Machine Guns against Cheeseburger and the Rebellion, or Cheeseburger and Will Ferreira and the Rebellion, because I refuse to watch any match that Rhett Titus is involved in. I was able to just, you know, switch over on the TV and hey, I'm going to watch the NXT show and see the beginning of this now. So I will say, well-timed on that front, Ring of Honor, but I kind of wonder how many people didn't tune back in. But then again, they already got their $30 at that point. So find this show. Also, Fight TV, Jason, I think in our WrestleMania show may have given, or in one of his shows this weekend, mentioned how great Fight TV was. I had a very similar experience to him. I thought that their service was really clear, really good. The second I downloaded the app on my phone, it knew every device in my house it could stream the show to, which was kind of, I mean, you know, a miracle of modern technology that isn't really a miracle, and it took a lot of people a lot of time to figure out, but was really neat. In how seamless it worked. And yeah, I had a really good experience using that. So I would say Ring of Honor show, two thumbs up. Easily my non-WWE show of WrestleMania weekend. And I think I watched a couple more than you because of the aforementioned absence of Christy.
I still had family obligations outside of the evening hours that I had set aside for wrestling. But I did see a lot of very interesting stuff scrolling through Twitter from Evolve and Progress. And there was an after WrestleMania show from a local promotion, you know, that I think it was Wrestle Circus and one other. I think it was Pac Coast Wrestling. Maybe that's a future event. But there was a show right after the WrestleMania show had over.
Imagine going to a post-WrestleMania wrestling show. Like, could never.
I think it had Joey and Candace on it, if I'm not mistaken. So that may have made it worth it. But I, you know, definitely something that would have taken a lot of hard thinking on my regard. Like, even if I had just gotten out of WrestleMania and it was right down the street, I'd be like, do I want to go anywhere at this point? Like, I would have had second thoughts for sure.
Yeah, even if you didn't do like where last year when we went to WrestleMania, you and I quickly scurried back to our hotels once we got out of the like compound that was Jerry World in Dallas. Getting out, by the way, I think we had split up by that point. But did you have as bad of an experience getting out of there as getting in? Because like we had to walk through like all the way back around the building a time or two for some reason.
Oh no, I didn't have that bad of an experience. No, it took me probably a half hour to get back to my hotel once I got to the car. So
the worst.
I must have hit it at the right time. But yeah, it was. I mean, that's a sprawling complex. Yeah. I can see where, if you were parked anywhere but a beeline from where you had exited the building, it would have been a bummer to get out of there.
Also, how strangely placed was the Walmart with like a stone's throw away from the stadium?
That's a very Texas thing, man. There's just a Walmart everywhere here. It's weird.
Yeah. So, I watched a couple more shows. I watched the entirety of Evolve 80, the Progress Orlando show, and then bits and pieces of Evolve 81 and the WWN Super Show. So, I spent a lot of time with Flow Slam this weekend. I will say, for all of those shows, because they were all from that WWN complex, production was dreadful. It was hard to watch at times. The lighting was that old school Ring of Honor lighting that just glared in the camera because they have four lights up on poles and they're shooting from the floor, pointing their cameras up at it constantly. Sound was bad. It was not as enjoyable of an experience, and their cameras themselves look bad. I've gotten pickier about that over the last couple years as I've worked with cameras more, but I had someone reach out and be like, the shows didn't look that bad in person. This is the footage I took at the show on my phone. And I was like, oh, that looks really nice. Their cameras are crap. And the equipment they're using is bad. And they're not actually calibrating their equipment the right way, as shown by the fact that one camera was far, far yellower than the other one that they were using. And all of this sounds nitpicky, but to me, all of this is what distracts you from good wrestling. And for the Progress show, Jake, have you watched a ton of Progress Wrestling? Have you gotten into that much?
Yeah, I've watched several of their shows. They
have a really distinct
way. Yeah, you mentioned a little bit of this on the WrestleMania audio, that they have a very particular way of putting the shows together.
And the Progress show was shot just like an Evolve show. And I know it was the same people in town and doing that, but when you're especially charging extra, because the Progress show wasn't part of your Flow Slam subscription, it costs another $15. When you're charging people extra for it, when you're doing that, you need to bring some of that authenticity and production value to the show. And I did not feel they did that. The Progress show was probably the second best show outside of WWE that I watched. It had a great Tyler Bate and Mark Andrews match for the WWE UK title. Pete Dunne and Mark Haskins had a great, great match for the Progress title. And the opener on that show, Zack Sabre Jr. and Jimmy Havoc, was really good. There was a tag match on it. Travis Banks and TK Cooper, the South Pacific Power Trip against Sammy Callahan and Shane Strickland. Really, another just knockdown, drag-out match. So that was a very good show, but I can't say it was worth the money because of the production values. On Evolve 80, I would say the stuff to go out of your way and see there, Zack Sabre Jr. and ACH, really good match in the main event. But aside from that, Ricochet and Keith Lee. Keith Lee, to me, was the breakout star of the WrestleMania weekend, and I wish he would have been on just a couple more shows than those WWN ones. But a big dude, I think probably just over 300 pounds, doesn't look like he could fly, but he's agile, he can fly, had a very good match with Ricochet, and then had an even better match the next night on Evolve 81 with Donovan Dijak. It was a very, very good match. So those are just some of my recommendations on things that I think people should seek out.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and check out Keith Lee, because I've heard more than one person outside of yourself say that he had a great weekend and it was worth going out of your way to see his matches. So very cool there. Did you get any feedback from anybody else about the Flow Slam performance? Is that normal for them? I mean, I guess I don't watch a lot of shows on there, so I don't know if that the camera quality is something that happens regularly or if it was just some rented equipment that didn't perform this particular weekend.
It seemed like it was more of a regular thing watching other shows on Flow Slam. I think it's less apparent with some of them as far as lighting and everything goes, but I think it's just that's the money. Either Flow Slam doesn't have that many subscribers and can't provide Gabe with that much money, and what he does is book talent with that money and not production, which, you know, talent's great unless you can't see him. But I it seems to me like that's just kind of the production standard that they expect and what they're okay with. And That's almost more annoying to me. But I think I'm probably pickier about those things than the average fan watching indie wrestling. I mean, I don't like watching PWG on DVD or Blu-ray because I think the building looks ugly. It's unique for sure. Like, you see a PWG GIF and you know exactly where it's from, but I think the building looks very bad on TV. And just generally, I think you can do things to make your shows look good and some people don't.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I mean, the average wrestling fan might not have the same standards either. You never know.
Yeah. And I doubt most do. Because I work in the world of like live event production, I'm always like, why does that look ugly? Why can I see that? And it's my own little quirk that I've learned to live with when I'm watching shows. I have problems.
That's fair. That's fair.
So, I think that's going to wrap it up for us on this, kind of wrap up of non-WWE WrestleMania weekend. And we'll be back tomorrow with a show about the Superstar Shakeup and where we hope to see superstars shaken too.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!